Good evening and welcome to From the 80s View. I'm your host, Dr. Cedric Brown. Today's guest is Mr. Spencer McLaughlin. Hey, Spencer, how are you?
I'm doing outstanding, Cedric. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. Hey, Spencer, we're going to have a couple topics to talk about. Tell me what you think about the 2024 WNBA draft class.
All the eyes are on Caitlin Clark, as they should be with good reason, but there's another player in that draft class that everybody should be acutely aware of.
Absolutely. The 2024 NFL draft class, what say you about that?
Quarterbacks, and a lot more quarterbacks. Very, very curious to see where some of those guys land after Caleb Williams makes his way to Chicago.
Absolutely. And then finally, Spencer, you are a sports broadcaster. What about the sports broadcasting industry, or what about the sports broadcaster career can you tell our audience about?
Well, I mean, I can tell the audience about everything that I've ever done, why I do it, and why I love it. But I mean, fundamentally, it's just a fun job. I get to wake up, talk about sports every day. There's nothing better.
Absolutely. These topics and more on From the 80s View. Let's get it. Welcome back to the show. Before Spencer and I get started about talking about these topics, I'd like to give honor to God, who's ahead of my life, because without him, none of the things that I do would be possible. As a father, as a husband, as a professional, none of those things would be possible. So I definitely want to be able to give him thanks and honor for those things that he's done for me. Let's bring back Mr. Spencer McLaughlin, who is formerly sports broadcaster for KSCU 103.3 FM, former broadcaster at Eastern Oklahoma State College. He's the host of Locked on Ducks and Locked on College Football, the podcast, and currently is a sports broadcaster at SUU for ESPN Plus. Spencer, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Cedric.
Hey, man, you know, you and I have grown to know each other a little bit more. I must say, Spencer, that watching you do what you do and seeing how you you carry yourself, you know, somebody might say that, you know, you have to be seasoned for this many years or this many, you know, seasons or have this many jobs. Spencer, you're a young man, and you do a remarkable, remarkable job. So I just wanted to share that with
you
as a colleague and as a friend that you get it done. So let's get into some of these topics, right? So on this past Monday, April 15th of the 2024 draft in Brooklyn, New York, and I don't like to say Brooklyn too much because I'm in the Bronx. I'm from the Bronx, so I don't like to say Brooklyn too much, right?
Can't be shouting it out too much on the show. You just can't be doing it, obviously.
Right. Exactly. You know, but we had a 2024 WNBA draft. The draft class was great. It was rich with talented young women that play basketball. The headline was Caitlin Clark, right? What do you think about this WNBA draft class, Spencer?
Well, I think Caitlin Clark is as close to a no-brainer number one pick as we've seen in any sport probably ever. I mean, Andrew Luck was a consensus. Trevor Lawrence was a consensus number one. Caleb Williams is going to be, and I still don't think that any of those guys are in the same stratosphere of this has to be the number one overall pick as Caitlin Clark. Like, not just because She's a great player. Everybody knows that she is. She's, you know, the female version of Steph Curry.
Right.
When you watch her play. Right. And there's just nobody else that plays like that. You know, that's why she's grown so much with her popularity and her fame and endorsement deals. She seems like she's a nice enough person. So I've never met her personally, but she seems like she's a good person to be around. Did you see her on SNL, Cedric?
She was hilarious.
I thought it was great
on SNL.
I thought hilarious. It was great. But when you're trying to kind of catapult, you know, essentially an entire sport, and you're the face of it, you're at the center of it. I think doing things like that is really beneficial for people. So I think she's easy to root for. I think she is very likable. She is an incredible player, and I think the player part makes her an easy number one pick. But then you think about the other side of it as well. Like, you look at the viewership numbers that she's brought to women's basketball.
Absolutely.
We've never seen anything like it. Okay. That's not to say there haven't been great women's players.
12 million.
There have been. Oh, they had over 19 watching the national championship. It outdrew the men's game, which is
a
crazy concept, but that's the reality there. But I think drafting her is not just a good basketball move. It's a good financial move, because that is, like, she is the attraction. She is the draw. So if you're the Indiana Fever, who have, of course, struggled, that's why they have the number one overall pick, you are now going to get people to watch your games more than they have before, but you're going to get people to come to the arena.
Come to the games?
Yeah. You're going to get people to go like you haven't seen before because they want to see her. And I think that is what makes it such a don't think about it, don't even look at other players' number one overall pick when you're running a WNBA franchise here, is like, okay, yeah, she can revolutionize our team. She can change things, you know, a lot on the court, but she can be a draw that you just can't find anywhere else. There are other great players in the draft. Cam Brink from Stanford's amazing, but there's nothing like Caitlin Clark. I feel like I don't want to overstep because I think it's still early in her, you know, obviously her professional career hasn't even began, but it feels like the importance that she has to women's basketball is what Tiger was to golf, where you all of a sudden are bringing it. Like, she is the reason people watch. Tiger was the reason people watch golf. No one cared about golf. It was a snooty, exclusive sport that was just a bunch of guys smoking cigars and hacking away. And then Tiger was there. And then you watched because Tiger was there.
Right.
And Caitlin Clark is the same thing. It's like,
right,
you watch because she is there. You don't watch for anything else.
Exactly. And the one thing, well, my son, my second born is going to be absolutely thrilled that she's at the Indiana Fever because he lives in Indianapolis, about to be a firefighter there. And so he's thrilled about that. And then he's also going to be thrilled about when we talk about this NFL football draft, because there's a young man from Notre Dame that's probably going to get drafted. You know, when you look at the draft order, and I'm looking at this, Indiana Fever selected number one, Caitlin Clark, LA Sparks, Cameron Brink, which you talked about, center from Stanford, the Chicago Sky, Camila Cardoza, the center from South Carolina, LA Sparks, number four, with Rekia Jackson, Dallas Wings, that got that Chicago pick, which J.C. Sheldon from Ohio State, the Washington Mystics, Aaliyah Edwards from UConn. And then this was a surprise to me. The Sky traded up to get to number seven and selected Angel Reese from LSU. And then someone who's probably dear to our heart, number eight pick for the Minnesota Lynx, Alyssa Peely,
Utah. Love that.
That is a great top. That's a great eight draft class for our women. I mean, you know, and you and I got to see Alyssa Peely play. She's a beast.
Yeah.
She gets it done, buddy. I mean, she played probably what? Three quarters for us.
I don't even know if it was.
And had 20 and 14.
Well, the other thing about her is the game comes so easily to her. Like, when you watch her play,
yes,
Not that she is lazy by any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't look like she has to always try very hard. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to hit the three. Cause like
Carmelo Anthony did at Syracuse.
You alluded earlier to the fact that I'm a young guy. I never watched him in college. I was like six and I didn't really start watching college basketball till I was like, you know, nine, 10 years old, but
I'm aging myself.
That's not a bad one though. That's not like that's a 2003 draft class with, you know, Carmelo, D Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh. And anyway, I think that the way that Pelee plays feels so in control. She feels like she's got a little Nikola Jokic to her game, where she's just controlling the tempo, the pace, the shot selection, where the ball goes. She just always felt in control. And when we had the opportunity to watch her in person, and I was calling the game when they came to Cedar City to play Southern Utah, that's what I felt watching her, is she was just in complete and utter control. And I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out that Megan Smith was giving her a tough time at the offensive end of the floor when that game got going. But Utah got a big win. That was pretty expected. But yeah, I was really, really impressed watching Alyssa Pelee play.
And so, you know, the Chicago Sky, they trade up, right? They already had Camilla. They trade up and now they add Angel Reese, right? 2 years ago, I believe, maybe 3 years ago, won the WNBA championship. And now, can you call them the favorites, or is Las Vegas, you know, still the favorite to maybe win the championship?
I have a hard time going against Las Vegas. If I were to be a betting man, I would have a hard time saying, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to pick against Las Vegas right now. That's a difficult proposition. That's like picking against the Chiefs. Like, are you going to, how many people were betting against the Chiefs? Oh, they're underdogs. Vegas knows this is their time. They're going down, guys. They're not going to, they won the Super Bowl again. Like, okay.
Right. And, you know, had a tremendous season. Nobody thought they were going to do it because we're going to talk a little bit about that probably after the break. You know, everybody expecting Aaron Rodgers to come over to the New York Jets and do something. And I'm a Giants fan, but I'm a New York fan, right? So if the Giants aren't playing, I can root for the Jets a little bit. I think that, you know, Candace Parker, she left Chicago Sky, won a championship in her home city. You know, help them win a WNBA championship. I don't know though, man. I think Chicago with those two women and the way they play, you know, they can go big with both of them and play Camilla at the center and play Angel at the forward, or, you know, so I don't know. And they're young, and I agree with you. I agree with you, Spencer, that you know, until you defeat the champion, they are the champion. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
But Spencer, stay with me because I have to pay some bills. We're going to go to a short break. You are watching From the AD's View. I'm your host, Dr. Cedric Brown. We'll be right back after this break.
Renting is everything. It's style at your doorstep, off the runway and into your closet. It's every trend you've been dying to try and every designer you've yet to discover. It's wearing it your way every time and making it count everywhere you go. It's never worrying about what to wear, because something new is always coming your way. That's why renting is everything. New styles, top designers, all for a flat monthly fee. Start your subscription at renttherunway.com.
Slow roasted over hickory fire and pulled by hand. This is the way pit pork has always been done. Pulled pork lovers, rejoice. The smoky old days are back at the Smoke Shack. From the creative team that brought you The Browning Project and Dead by Morning comes a new thriller that will change the way you look at white-collar crime forever. Fallen from the Sky.
Water. It's everywhere. We drink it, we bathe with it, we cook with it. Coffee's made with water. Toilets won't flush without it. It's used for washing clothes, dishes, utensils, pots, pans, floors, and our teeth. Plants and crops need water, animals drink it, and fish need it too. And don't forget, we can have a lot of fun in the water. Water. What will we do without it?
Welcome back to the show. You're watching From the 80s View. I'm your host, Dr. Cedric Brown. Before we get back to our guest today, I'd like to talk a little bit about my book. The book that I wrote is very it's an easy read, right? How Black Men Overcome Racial Barriers in the Status Quo in NCAA Institutions, a narrative inquiry. I had a lot of fun writing this book. I had a lot of fun doing the research, had an opportunity to talk to a lot of Power Five ADs, former and present, about their journey on how to navigate their way through those institutions, right? Most of them, Power Five, are all are Power Five or now Power Four institutions. And the three themes that came out of the book were the benefits of role models, right? Individuals that are looking out for you, that have been through what you're going through and have been where you're aspiring to go to. And so that was a very important theme that came out of it. The role model expectations, the things that the role models would have you do and goals that they set for you, and you try to attain those goals along the way. And so that they can help you navigate through the different things that are going on when you're sitting in the chair, as we say in the business. And then the perceived racial barriers that could come along. And the one thing that I'm very proud of with the book is that it's all based on positive influence, right? Not somebody kept me down, the university didn't do this, they didn't do that. No, what, in the spite of those perceived or real barriers, what was the influence that helped you through the positivity it through your career? And so it's a great read. It's an easy read. You know, some of it's technical. But if you get it and you are in the business and you're looking to find ways to navigate this business to get to where you want to go to, take a look at it. You can purchase the book on Amazon.com. And again, the title is How Black Men Overcome Racial Barriers and the Status Quo in NCAA Institutions. It's a narrative inquiry. If you want to learn more about what I do and services that I provide, go to cedricmbrown.org. If you'd like to see past episodes, you can go on cedricmbrown.org, or you can go to my YouTube channel, which is Dr. Cedric M. Brown. And From the 80s View is seen on Sunday evenings at 6:40 Central, 7:40 Eastern. And you can see more exciting guests like Spencer McLaughlin, and you can see more episodes on From the 80s View at that time. And now let's bring back Spencer McLaughlin to the show. Hey, Spencer, welcome back. We left off talking about the WNBA, but we kind of bled over into the NFL. What say you about this upcoming NFL draft class? It's going to be in Detroit. It's going to be Thursday evening. You know, we're going to, well, I help on a fellow colleague's podcast, Jasmine Pollock. She's on Impression Sports Talk, and I'll be on her show that Thursday night for the NFL draft for the first round. It's an exciting time for the NFL. What happened with Detroit, what happened with San Francisco, obviously the repeat for the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think about this draft class?
Well, I'm just most fascinated. A lot of great players, really, really good receiver class. But I'm most fascinated to see where the quarterbacks go. I mean, it's the most important position in all of sports. And I think there are some really, really good ones in this cycle. I mean, you start with Caleb Williams. He's going to go to the Bears. That's not really up for debate. But after that, we're at the time of year, Cedric, where it seems like teams are trying to talk themselves into anything other than what we have known for a long time. Things like Drake May is the second best quarterback in the draft, which is a belief that I hold personally.
Right.
But people are trying to talk themselves into Jaden Daniels could be the third quarterback, or J.J. McCarthy might be the third quarterback. And I think the fact that it's that deep to where Bo Nix is probably like the sixth best quarterback after he just set the NCAA single season completion percentage record, I think that's a testament to where these guys are at. And, you know, the curious thing, this may come off as negative, but one of these guys, at least one of these guys is not going to be any good. That is just statistically true.
Right.
I think if you look at the past draft classes,
par for the course,
multiple are not going to be any good. And that kind of makes you wonder, well, right, who's that going to be? Who is not going to work? Why isn't he going to work? Is it going to be about the team? Is it going to be about himself? Is he going to get hurt? You don't know. You just don't know. So
absolutely,
I think that's what makes the draft so fun, is it's, you know, really, really easy and entertaining to prognosticate about, you know, how a guy fits here, how a guy fits there. What's, you know, this situation going to be like? Does he have enough help? Are his traits enough? Can he succeed early? You know, I was a big CJ Stroud fan. I did not think he was going to be as good as he is right here, right now, because the Texans won a playoff game. Right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Texans beat the Browns.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in a playoff game. It's like,
yep.
Well, yep, that was quick. And now the Texans, who have got Stephon Diggs and have made a bunch of other moves, are suddenly all in. And that's the sort of change you can see. You know, who's going to have their franchise altered immediately like that? Could it be the Washington Commanders getting, you know, a guy like Drake May? Or will it be the Bears with Caleb Williams? Will Caleb Williams work out the way everyone's looking? I think the quarterback situation is just so, so fascinating. And you really have at least six guys who I think succeed or can succeed at some level in the NFL. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jalen Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix. I think among those six guys, you're going to get at least two long-term franchise caliber starters, and I wouldn't be surprised if the number's 3 to 4. It right. won't be 5, it won't be 6, but it will be
6. Right.
It will be multiple among those guys, and I think it depends for a couple of them, especially where they land.
Well, and that's exciting, and it can be tumultuous for some fans, right? I'm a Giants fan. Jones came out of Duke, you know, he was throwing that thing around, right? They called him Danny Dimes. He gets $160 million contract last year and, you know, doesn't play as well as, you know, you thought he could have played. You know, the running back situation was what it was, and he went to that other team in the NFC, you know, in the NFC East, and I won't talk about that other team, right? I'm excited by the fact that we might get, you know, one receiver that's, you know, coming out of Washington. You know, he lit Washington up, and they did such a good job with Penix Jr. there and Romo Odunze, the coming out of Washington. I'm excited about that, but I wish that Malik Nabers from LSU was there, because I think he's a more exciting wide receiver. What about that wide receiver class that's coming out? You have Harrison Jr. What about those coming out?
I think you have a number of can't miss guys, and, you know, receivers have been not all the rage, but a bigger part of the NFL draft storyline every year over the last several seasons, I think, than when I was growing up. You know, it was obviously still all about quarterbacks when I was a kid, but I don't remember receivers being as big as storylines or as big of players or just as good when you know they were coming out of college in the last 10, 15 years. But there's just been such an emphasis on that position. And why would that be, Cedric? Because that's where the NFL's paying guys. I mean, the NFL only really pays about five positions. You pay quarterback, you pay left tackle, you pay receiver, edge rusher, and a great corner. Everybody else, we're not going to give you some mega, some uber mega deal, right? I mean, look at the Chiefs. You know, even though they didn't have the receiver, they've got the quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, and they've got they've had some good offensive lines. Chris Jones is a pass rusher, and they've got a loaded secondary that they built through the draft with guys like Trent McDuffie from Washington, who's a stud, and Roman Dunze from Washington is, I say this as an Oregon fan, he is annoyingly good. He is annoyingly good. He does not drop the ball. And if you throw it up in a 50-50 situation, it was more like a 90-10 with the way Penix threw the ball. So
he's going to get it.
Yeah, he's going to get it. I mean, his hands are just, he has late hands and he has soft hands. You know, when he's plastered by a DB, he's not a big separation guy. Like that's not his MO as much. You know, like a guy like Troy Franklin or Malik Nabers,
physical,
I think.
Though.
Yeah. No, Adunze's definitely got a physicality to him, but you know, I wouldn't look at Adunze and say, oh, he's Tyreek Hill, he's just gonna run away from the defense, or he's gonna be no, he's someone who you're just, you know, Calvin Johnson style. Was Calvin Johnson ever known for being wide open all the time because he just cooked DB? Like, he could, but what do you think about with him when you think Calvin Johnson? You think, oh, I'm just gonna throw it up and he's just gonna go get it. Well, you throw it up to Rome Adunze, guy's just gonna go get the football. That's just what he did for last couple of years at Washington with Penix, and they had the best passing offense in all of college football. So I love the receiver class. I think it's, you know, 7-8 guys deep, you know, to the point where a guy who I really, really like and am rooting for as an Oregon fan, Troy Franklin, might not even get taken in the first round. And he's a first-round talent. He's a first-round caliber receiver. But is he going in the first round? Probably not. He's probably early to mid-second, which is, you know, a really good spot for him to be. And gosh, if he goes to the Chiefs, I think the Bills could work. But if Troy Franklin goes to the Chiefs, I will be I will suddenly do a 180 on how I feel about the Chiefs lately. That's where that would be, because I think it would be so much fun to watch that take place.
Right, and so you mentioned the offensive line. You know, tackles are very important. You know, blind side tackles, left tackles are very important to quarterbacks. I talked about my son earlier today, Notre Dame is predicted to draft Joe Alt, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. My son will be very happy about that because he's a huge Notre Dame fan. And then Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle out of Penn State, is predicted to go to the Jets, where Aaron Rodgers needs someone to protect, you know, his left side, right? Because he's coming off that that injury next year. What do you think about the offensive tackles that can potentially make an impact in this year's season?
I think both of those guys are day one starters. I don't think you're going to have to see too much of an adjustment period either. They are experienced. They're productive. They've got the physical traits. I mean, there's nothing really that you look at and say, I got a big question there. I don't know if he can really do this. You can ask that about quarterbacks. You could even ask that about receivers. But when you look at, you know, Fashanu and Alt, I think they could go in either order. Joe Alt is probably first in terms of offensive tackles coming off the board. But if you're getting Olu Fashanu as the second tackle that's taken in that first round, don't feel like you're getting a consolation prize. That's just not the case. Right. He's a guy who comes in and starts right away. and will have very, very high expectations, like we've seen with some other young tackles who have been taken over the last few drafts. You think of a guy like Tristan Wirfs with the Bucks, or you think of who was the guy from Northwestern that was taken by the Chargers. His name is on the tip of my tongue, and I'm missing it right now. But you can keep going.
Yeah,
you
know, and we took Neal from Alabama. The Giants did a couple years ago. Right. You are absolutely right that they are going to make a difference and can make a difference in that draft. And hopefully, my Giants, you know, in the second or third round, get an offensive lineman that can come and solidify that line for Daniel Jones, so that my Giants can get back to, being in the Super Bowl conversation at least.
I bid the Giants good luck getting to a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones. I can't believe they gave him that contract. By the way, I'd be remiss if I was mentioning all these past first round tackles and then talk about my guy Penei Sewell with the Lions. Big part of the reason that they, you know, have had this resurgence. Like, they've had such a good operation recently with their front offense, and Dan Campbell is their head coach. But Penei Sewell out of Oregon, another offensive tackle, came in, impact starter right away. And look, offensive line's not flashy, but, you know, a running back could be seen as kind of flashy. Well, guess what? Running backs aren't any good if they don't have an offensive line that's worth a damn to run behind. And so, you know, those guys, I never ever overlook them, and I think you got a couple of really, really good tackles there at the top of this draft class.
Absolutely. And as we close the show, Spencer, you know, you are a sports broadcaster, right? And that career, I watch you, and you are excited. You're excitable. You make it seem very easy to do. It's effortless for you. And you know, in a minute or so, tell us a little bit about your journey as being a broadcaster.
Yeah, I was involved with college radio at KSCU at Santa Clara, where I graduated in 2020 in the COVID year. And that first year out of college, I did radio and TV play-by-play and a little sports talk at a local campus station at Eastern Oklahoma State in Wilburton, Oklahoma. And then I got an opportunity to go to Southern Utah, and my role was going to be, you know, for a few select sports at the beginning, and then that is just steadily, you know, expanded, and then frankly, it expanded quicker than I thought it would. I hoped it would, and I've been very, very grateful to be the voice of the Thunderbirds. You know, I don't have verified data in front of me, but I think I'm one of the 5 or 10 youngest Division I play-by-play voices in the entire country, and that's not something that I take lightly. And you know, I'm glad to hear you say that it sounds easy for me, Cedric, because it's definitely not. But that's of course what you're trying to accomplish, is let your preparation and trainings and teachings and everything show through. And you know, I've put a lot of time into being the best I can be. I still put time into being the best I can be. I'm constantly self-critiquing. I was just on the golf course yesterday and trying to think of some new vocab words, because I was playing golf with a guy who I didn't know. And, you know, I stood up to the 16th tee at Cedar Ridge, and I hit a really nice drive. And he said, "Oh, that's pummeled." And I just thought to myself, pummeled, that's a good word. I'm using that in the softball series next week. That's that one's coming out. And, you know, right. I mean, it's who I am now. You know, I do podcasts as you mentioned, you know, Locked On College Football and Locked On Ducks, and doing play-by-play is just the best. Like it is the absolute best. There's nothing like calling a really exciting game with a great crowd. You know, at SCU, I think of any time Southern Utah and Utah Tech get together, big game, big crowd, great atmosphere. Like those are the moments that I live for, and I never want to end. Like I want those games to go into 6 overtimes. I want to just keep on right. calling them. But you know, I relish every opportunity truly that I get, because it's a privilege to be in the position that I'm in. I don't take it lightly, and I love it more than I ever thought I could love a job growing up. I didn't even think this was possible as a job growing up as a kid. I didn't decide to be a broadcaster until just before my senior year of college. And that was by far the best decision in my life I've ever made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Spencer, if individuals wanted to get in contact with you, right, how could they go about doing that? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, just reach me on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can shoot me an email as well if you'd like at SpencerMcLaughlinPXP@gmail.com. But my DMs are wide open on X at SMcLaughlinCFB or at LockedOnDucks or at Locked On_CFB. I manage all of those accounts, and you can DM me anytime. But you know, my personal account's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me there. But yeah, I'm a pretty open book. You know, anytime someone sends me a message about something, I'll tend to respond. I don't really look away from messages that often, because you know, if someone wants to say something nice, or even if someone wants to say something mean, like I like looking at it, I think it's kind of funny. That just comes with the territory of being a personality there. But yeah, you guys can always reach out anytime.
It does. And the last thing before we go, Spencer, I ask all my guests at the end of the show, and it doesn't have to be heavy, but Spencer, what does faith or spiritualness mean to you?
I keep it on the personal side. And what I mean is, you know, I think having faith in yourself is probably the most important thing, at least from where I come from. You know, it's something that I work on a lot in my golf game. Like I've tried to work on, you know, the mental side of things for many years, because I've struggled with that. It's really, really hard. And, you know, I don't struggle with it as much in my professional life, because I have more confidence or faith that, you know, I am prepared, that I'm ready, that I'm good enough to be doing what I'm doing, or that, you know, what I decide to call or what I say is going to be right. And you know, that's kind of where I come at it, is I try to have faith in myself that I know what I'm doing, that I am prepared, and I can you know, accomplish whatever task is right in front of me in the moment or in the long run as well.
Absolutely. Well, Spencer, I appreciate you, man, for being on. And like I said, I believe that you are one of those up and comers in the business, and I believe that you're going to be not just the voice of the Thunderbirds. One day you're going to be the voice of someone else doing something spectacular inside the business and the industry of sports broadcasting.
Thank you.
Because you get it done, Spencer, and you are doing a remarkable job, man. So thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate the kind words, Cedric. And as it pertains to the future, I always say I'm just trying to get through tomorrow first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'd like to thank Mr. Spencer McLaughlin for being on the show with us today. And as I close the show, as I do all the time, I just want to talk about something very quickly. And it's supporting women's sports, right, at the collegiate level. If you get an opportunity to go out to a women's volleyball game, a softball game, watch women's track and field, watch women's basketball, any of those opportunities that you get, go and watch, because you'll be amazed at how talented the women are, how passionate the women are, how incredibly competitive the women are, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. You know, I had an opportunity to watch a WNBA, now WNBA draft pick, and Alyssa Peely from Utah University, outstanding. And I will be watching the Minnesota Lynx as this season comes up this summer, watching Alyssa Peely do her thing, because she's an outstanding basketball player that is a woman. But she's a basketball player. She gets it done. She shoots it. She dribbles it. She passes it. And she understands the game of basketball. So if you get an opportunity to go see a women's athletic event, go do it. You'd be pleasantly surprised, and you will always, after that, support women's athletics. You're watching From the 80s View. I'm your host, Dr. Cedric Brown. Good night, and God bless.